Chapter 8. The Cultural Mandate. The cultural mandate is a subset of the creation mandate, having to do with the development of human cultures in their art forms, languages, and customs. This supposedly means God commanded mankind to develop cultures, as though we would fail to do that without a command. More importantly, the new social gospel tells us it is part of the mission of the church to take over and dominate all cultures through any nonviolent means. Thus, the biblical mandate has two parts: the creation mandate, which is domination of the physical planet, and the cultural mandate, overcoming for Christ the cultures mankind creates. Sometimes the whole package is called the dominion mandate. Doing all that will supposedly manifest the kingdom of God on earth, in large part, before Christ comes. The cultural mandate is a centerpiece of all new social gospel theology because of its supposed link to the creation mandate and its association with the kingdom of God. Quote, "Redemption is the reorientation and redirection of our culture-making capacities," end quote. James K. Smith, Cardiff Institute. Quote, "We must engage with the entire creation, including culture, for our Creator is deeply engaged with it," end quote. Corbett and Fickert, Chalmers Institute. Quotes like these typify the mindset of this movement. It contains two false premises. God is in the process of redeeming the physical creation, which logically must include human cultures. It is part of Christian duty to help God in this process by engaging in social justice enterprises and cultural activities. These affirmations are serious, since no such thing is taught in the New Testament. We could write off such theology as a bit weird and ignore it, were it not so loudly affirmed by key players today. It gets stranger still when we are told that Christ is sustaining and supporting all human cultures and working in them. Quote, "Christ is the creator and sustainer of more than just the material world. Christ is actively engaged in sustaining the economic, social, political, and religious systems in which humans live," end quote. Corbett and Fickert, Chalmers Institute. This idea is like catching smoke and is not much clearer in the liberal theologians from which it was derived. It may be due to confusing the difference between divine providence and divine approval. The Cardus Institute, a self-styled think tank of Christians committed to changing the culture, says, quote, "While the church is that people who have been regenerated and empowered by the Spirit to do the good work of culture making, foretastes of the coming kingdom are not confined to the church. The Spirit is profligate in spreading seeds of hope. So we gobble up foretastes of the kingdom wherever we can find them. The creating, redeeming God of Scripture takes delight in Jewish literature that taps the deep recesses of language's potential, in Muslim commerce that runs with the grain of the universe, and in the well-ordered marriages of agnostics and atheists. We too can follow God's lead and celebrate the same." End quote. Christ is indeed sustaining non-Christian cultures, though perhaps for another reason. The Lord knows how to rescue godly men from trials and to hold the unrighteous for the day of judgment while continuing their punishment. 2 Peter 2:9. Sustaining, yes, for their benefit, not necessarily. God's common grace keeps these cultures in existence for other reasons than for us to rejoice in what they are. Does this mean Christians can ignore cultural issues? Are we more spiritual if we disregard the arts? We live in a house. We keep it clean because no normal person wants to live in dirt. On the wall are some paintings and a Mozart minuet playing in the background. None of these are part of our mission in life, nor constitute a balance in our calling, nor will we hear a reproach from God if we fail to do them. So with the church. Yes, Christians are free to engage in the arts and culture as they wish and are gifted. They are also free to refrain from such if they so choose. Those things are gifts from God, not mandates. Christians are not free, however, to ignore evangelism, because that is their mission. Keeping this simple fact in mind helps us see why the so-called cultural or creation mandate is not part of the gospel or of gospel ministry, and trying to make it a mandate is an affront to our liberty of conscience. Reading backwards. When it comes to the whole cultural mandate idea, it is hard to find a better example of reading into the scriptures what is not there. This is eisegesis, at its best, reading into the text something from our own fertile imaginations. This is the opposite of exegesis, which is the correct art of extracting the evident meaning of a biblical text. Social gospel teachers of all stamps take Genesis 1:28, load it with their own made-up theology, and stuff it into the Great Commission. Is this really warranted? Again, the principle of progressive revelation comes in handy. If the cultural mandate, as defined by these teachers, were a central part of the church's mission, an equal balance in gospel ministry, then why do the apostles seem to be unaware of it? Their cultural concerns seem to be limited to making sure the Gentiles were included in God's kingdom. The new social gospel has also taken this cultural mandate idea and run with it. Some of the ways they have done so sound like a good plot for a sci-fi film. Fun to think about, but not reality. Up to a point, it is okay. There indeed exists in the Great Commission a certain cultural mandate, but not to the extent the new social gospel proposes. When Jesus said, "Make disciples of all nations," he did not mean win a few souls in every country and plant some churches. He meant Christianize all ethnic groups. In this sense, we can agree with the cultural mandate. The problem is the means to the end. The only means Christ ever authorized for the spread of his kingdom was to preach and teach the gospel. Nothing about taking over the culture in general via mercy ministry, art forms, sociopolitical agitation, or anything else. Preaching and teaching are the means, the only means, and the apostles showed they understood this by the way they modeled it in the book of Acts and discussed it in the epistles. This is gospel ministry. Nothing else is. From this chapter, we learn the cultural mandate idea, as elaborated by the new social gospel movement, is fantasy. The cultural mandate concept supposedly claims there exists on the church a mandate to engage society in cultural issues. The cultural mandate concept seems to have its roots in a Dutch theologian who elaborated it out of the common grace idea.